on to item number 16, and the time's getting short for us, so we'll go to the timber harvest individual waiver, 1-08-073 SCR Bushnell Ranch. Mr. Briggs?
And we don't need a change in teams here because Julia Dyer is up again. Julia?
Thank you. As you know, I'm Julia Dyer, environmental scientist with the Central Coast Water Board. I think that the fact that the item following, item 15, is an individual waiver is very serendipitous. I'd like to, before I get into the details of this plan, I'd like to explain that this is not going to be business as usual. You just approved item 15, so those modifications will carry forth to this plan, just as if another plan was categorized under Tier 4. Several months from now. It's an individual waiver that we can, by we I mean the board, can make site-specific requirements within that order. It's not eligible for the timber order that we had been just discussing. So anyway, I'll get into the details of this plan one moment while I get my notes. So like I had said in the previous item that all the modifications would apply to retroactively to all individual and conditional waivers and all future waivers, I believe that it's appropriate to recommend that the temperature and turbidity monitoring that I'll be explaining for this ranch plan is appropriate and would apply for a period of 1 year, at which time we could reevaluate and see what the results yield to us and make a determination at that time to revise. So the difference between a plan enrolled under the general waiver and a plan categorized as Tier 4 is that the individual waiver or conditional waiver plan needs to go before the board, as we're doing today, for a hearing. It is distributed for public input, has a public comment period. It's a higher priority for inspections, so that's been the case throughout the last 4 years, and that will continue to be an inspection priority for Water Board staff. That the order itself will contain additional conditions that are site-specific to the property, and I'll go through those at the end of this presentation, and that the monitoring requirements essentially remain the same as if it was under a general waiver. The board established monitoring requirements that were appropriate, and so if there was anything more robust, that would have been included under the general waiver. So the turbidity temperature photo monitoring is included under the Tier 4 as well. So this is the eligibility criteria that we were discussing, and this is the one specific to the ranch plan. It shows exactly how ranch received a Tier 4 ranking. It had a high cumulative effects ratio, so that's exactly what I was discussing with Dr. Hunter, that in the past 15 years, 28% of the subwatershed, Kings Creek, which is a subwatershed to the San Lorenzo, has been harvested, so that gives it a high cumulative effects ratio. This plan has a high drainage density index because it contains, 4 miles of water courses within the plan area. And the soil disturbance factor is a medium. So with the high medium, it goes to Tier 4. So this is an overview of the Santa Cruz County watersheds. The ranch plan is in the headwaters of the San Lorenzo River. It's right here, generally located where this red dot is, in the Kings Creek watershed, as I had said. San Lorenzo River is also listed on the 303D list for sediment and has an established TMDL. So this is a depiction of the plan area. I added the colored lines to help decipher all the different lines and symbols on the map. The plan area is a 229-acre selective silvicultural harvest. So as I'd mentioned, this red line depicts the boundary of the plan area, and then what I'm about to bring up are the water courses going along here, flowing through the plan area in those locations. Again, this is the boundary of the plan area, which contains 3.5 miles of road, depicted by these brown lines. This orange line over here on the eastern side is the 2,500 feet of proposed seasonal road. This plan area also contains 14 watercourse crossings, as depicted by these dots. The ranch plan also contains 18 landings. These are all existing landings. And 4 miles of skid trails, depicted by the green lines. And 1,400 feet of newly or proposed skid trails. On June 18th, 2008, I attended the pre-harvest inspection with CAL FIRE. So what I'm about to show you are all photos I took on that pre-harvest inspection. This is a representative sample of the roads. They're well-maintained, not showing any signs of erosion or sediment input into the associated watercourses. This is a photo of one of the watercourse crossings that will be a required photo monitoring point as part of the timber order. Here's another watercourse crossing on the plan area. This is a recommended photo and turbidity monitoring point, and this crossing is slated for replacement, to replace that culvert. This is another crossing where we're recommending photo and turbidity monitoring. There's an unstable area upstream of this crossing, and that's why we're recommending the turbidity monitoring. On October 8th, 2008, the landowner informed me that they did begin to harvest without a waiver. So I waited until after the winter period and went out and conducted an inspection. And much to my chagrin, my camera battery died while I was on the inspection. So the landowner, Eric Bushnell, took some photos for me of the area I saw. So this is the property after it's experienced a winter. So this is a landing, and again, they're in stable. The property was well-maintained. It was in stable condition. I did not see any signs of discharges to waters of the state during that inspection after the harvest.
Someone had a question? So why did they harvest without a waiver?
I don't think that it's appropriate for me to answer that question.
Didn't tell you why they harvested without a waiver?
They were explaining to me that it was an economic issue. What drove their decision to harvest without the waiver?
Well, I mean, this in general, this has happened many times.
Yes, it has.
And is there some way we can, fine people for doing that? I mean, isn't there an enforcement? What's the point of the waiver? If people can just, log without it.
That's
really irritates me.
It irritates me as well.
And then they come and, it's like, gee, well, we didn't get anything in the water. That's not the point.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I've had extensive discussions with my management and legal counsel about this exact issue.
Yeah.
And what it boils down to is that harvesting without a waiver is not a violation of the water code. They have to have a discharge to waters of the state before we can take enforcement action. Otherwise, I have no repercussions. So that's why I put things on hold.
So there's no upshot.
It's a calculated risk on the part of the landowner if they want to do it. If I found, and I'm looking for a signs of a discharge to which I would recommend enforcement action at that point.
Let me ask you this. Did they tell you before they harvested that they were going to do that?
I don't recall.
Harvest without a waiver?
I don't recall. I can't remember for this specific site,
yeah.
But I have had foresters in the past, foresters and dischargers
yeah.
and landowners say that they want to harvest without a waiver. I say I strongly recommend against
yeah.
it. The whole gamut. You can imagine the conversation.
Well, see, what it does for me is it indicates their willingness to bend the rules. And that doesn't make me comfortable in okaying something like this. Because they can say they're going to do this, but, their credibility just goes down quite a bit in my book.
I understand.
When they come in, asking for a permit, and yet, going and logging without the waiver. Go ahead.
So this is another representative segment of the road. Again, it's in stable condition. So the specific requirements for the site in this order that aren't in general waiver orders are that the landowner must notify the water board prior to commencement of operations, and then their monitoring and reporting will include visual photo monitoring in three locations, turbidity monitoring in two locations, and temperature monitoring up and downstream of the plan area. And this is a map with the stars depicting exactly where those monitoring locations are. We received public comment on this plan. Public comment included a question about, did the landowner conduct operations in the water course and lake protection zone? And again, this is going back to that calculated risk that we were discussing, Mr. Shellcross. The landowner stayed out of the water course and lake protection zone, so this minimizes the possibility of them discharging to waters of the state. The commenter asked about monitoring data as associated with this plan area. They did have limited amounts of temperature monitoring that they commenced upon their operations. They don't have turbidity data because they did not utilize the crossings that we're recommending for turbidity monitoring. And the commenter requested that we deny the permit. So as I mentioned, there weren't operations in the WILPES. I did review the monitoring data for temperature, and it was below that optimal range that I had established for the purposes of this evaluation. And based on the two times I've been out into the field for this site, the site conditions are protected of water quality, so I do recommend adoption of the order. And that concludes my presentation.
Any questions of staff?
No, I have a couple. So, in spite of what we just did earlier on the former item, we can still include. Can we still change this monitoring to track with the former waiver?
If we wanted to, yes. But this since this one's individual, then the board is able to specify specific monitoring that you would like to see on this property.
Okay, so we could really add anything to this we want.
Anything? Well, I don't know anything, well, I mean, but you know, anything you're within the
realm. It has to be justified.
Of, yes.
And according to Dr. Hunter's suggestion earlier, we'd make it a Tier 5.
A Tier 5, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's some justification in doing something in light of the fact that they logged without the waiver.
Well, this
and
is
I'm
why
not sure.
I,
I'm not sure how you know what we would do that would be reasonable, and you know address the issue. But
I would encourage you to talk to the landowner, and have them explain what
are they
led
here?
Them to. Yes, he's
well,
here today.
Maybe they could come up and explain that.
I believe that they filled out a card, but it's inappropriate for me to try and
wait to have
explain
comment.
His decisions.
We have two cards here.
Well, he's not the public, he's the party.
What are the names on your cards?
Mr. Schimmick and Mr. Berlarge.
Oh, okay, it's Eric Bushnell is the landowner, and he's right
here?
There.
Hi. Okay. Is this working?
Yeah. Yes,
hi, my name is Eric Bushnell, and I'm the landowner in this this ranch property. And the reason why I went ahead and harvested without my permit is basically financial reasons. This is how I feed my family. I have a wife and four kids, and three other families also depend upon the proceeds from this harvest. And this is what I do for my livelihood, and I just simply could not wait, and that's the reason for it. So it's not out of disrespect for your board or anything like that. It's simply that I had to for financial, you know.
Well, you know, I can really appreciate I can appreciate that. And, I mean, I sort of wished, you know, we had got that information up front. Apparently you did take good care of the property. I mean, it was pretty well taken care of. So, I mean, it's not like you were out trying to screw around. But
exactly.
And I know that these things do take a lot of time and sometimes too much time for you guys. I do understand that there are, you know, people have different reasons for doing things, and some are better reasons than others. I don't know.
Well,
I think it's a tough call.
But this way, I'm certainly not getting rich in this business, and
Yeah, well, none of us are.
Not what I'm here for. I'm simply trying to do an honest business. And
such a sad story.
And feed my family. That's all I'm trying to do here.
Well, okay. Look, why don't we just go? Thanks for that. I appreciate it. Why don't we just go on and we'll see where this goes.
Well, the question, Julie, I would have is, was this permit filed timely?
What do you mean exactly by that?
Well, I mean, it's obvious this was it's a Tier 4, right?
Correct.
Okay, so it's an individual waiver, and there's a certain lead time that you need to file these to get through the process. So the question, it leads to what Mr. Shellcross, and I can sympathize, he's got a family and other families depend upon this, but if you file it 15 days before you start cutting trees, that's not realistic. So my question is, was it filed far enough ahead of time to receive the permit?
Again, I can't speak to when they started harvesting, but according to the timeline I have written here, CAL FIRE approved their plan on September 4th, 2008, and we received the application on September 10th, 2008, and I contacted the landowner less than a month later, informing him that he is Tier 4 status, which is, in the history of the past 4 years, contacting them within a month is pretty quick. But I don't know in that timeline when the harvesting began.
Bush, Mr. Bushnell, can you answer that question? Well, how about the month or the year? Did you harvest in 2000? Could you come back up to the microphone?
Okay.
Yeah, it was in 2008 that we did start.
You harvested in 2008?
Yes.
Was that after you got the THP approved?
Yeah, it was after the approval of the THP.
From the forestry?
From CAL FIRE?
Yes.
CAL FIRE, okay. All right. Is there any other questions of him? I think that answers mine. So there really wasn't enough time for you to process the permit from the time that he got notification and actually the time that he started harvesting.
That's correct. Especially with the Tier 4, then we had to do the public comment board cycle. That.
What if it had been just a regular, like a Tier 1?
Oh.
How long would it have taken him to get our waiver?
It would have been a couple months. By then, it would have been wintertime where he wouldn't be able to start harvesting until that following spring.
Right.
And then the little kitties are hungry, so you got to go. Okay.
I don't know if Eric explained. He's also the harvester for that site. He maintains his own property.
Well, it looks like he does a pretty good job for the photographs you showed us.
Yeah. And this is going back to Monica, our discussion about folks have a history of how they maintain their land. And I've, since the beginning of my participation in this program, I'm very familiar with the Bushnells' maintenance of their property, and they're high-quality land managers.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bushnell.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Staff? Mr. Briggs?
Nope.
Okay. I do have two cards, Mr. Berlarge. No? Mr. Schimmick?
Talking a lot here, and I apologize. Steve Schimmick, Monterey Coastkeeper. I'd like to suggest to you that there is a precedent and a consistency issue here on the San Vicente Creek, where we ended up on this exact same situation where the person had harvested before they received their permit. You required third-party monitoring instead of self-monitoring. I think that that's a great idea in this particular case. In other words, basically, you know, we're talking about building trust here. And here you've got a guy that went out and applied and then went ahead and logged before he got his waiver, before he got his permit. Needs to build that trust back up. Third-party monitoring would be totally appropriate here. I believe that in a personal conversation, I heard that we got some of the best monitoring and clearest and most timely monitoring after that San Vicente, and that third-party monitoring was applied in that harvest. So I just think that this would be that would be appropriate here, bringing a third-party monitoring. Great condition for this permit. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. That's all the cards. Anyone else wish to testify on this that didn't turn a card in?
My name is Martin Eric Moore. Again, I'm a landowner. Things didn't go as smooth as they should have on this one, but I would say that this board is not in the business of issuing timber harvest permits. You're in the business of issuing discharge permits. The landowner is taking a chance. They don't need your permit to harvest timber as long as there is absolutely no discharge. They're in a horrid situation if there is a discharge and they don't have that permit. He tried to do the best he could. He pulled out of the areas where he thought he had any risk. He probably lost some money doing it. I want to throw that up for consideration.
Thank you for your comments. Is there anyone else? Okay. Is there any other questions from the board members?
Ms. Dyer, could you comment on Mr. Schimmick's recommendation? Is that something you see as necessary in this situation, or you have enough confidence in the Bushnells that that won't be necessary?
I believe it would be overkill in this situation. The monitoring that needs to occur on that property is a different type of monitoring than we required in that San Vicente, the case in the San Vicente Creek. These are low-flow streams on the ranch property on the San Vicente Creek. That was different. Also, the discharger in the San Vicente Creek issue did have a history of violations. Eric Bushnell does not. Also, Eric Bushnell did comply with all the conditions of the waiver as if it had been issued to him, which, again, they conducted the temperature monitoring, which I think shows a good faith effort towards trying to comply with our waiver. And it's simply an economics.
Okay, with that comment, then I would move for approval of Harvest Plan 108073.
Well, I will second that, but I did want to raise a question or two, if I may. Would you allow for questions with motion on the floor?
Sure. Go ahead.
I'll be brief, but it does appear from what I've heard that Mr. Bushnell was not attempting to hide anything from you, and that the evidence you saw was that he was a good steward of his land.
That's accurate, yes.
And I'm just see this as a very tough economic time, and I personally have sympathy for a lot of families out there. I think government needs to take that into account, though they don't appear to be in Sacramento as much. I think this is maybe I'm just new here, but I see this as a separate jurisdictional issue. There's a problem with the state process that doesn't give any particular teeth, maybe, and we'd like to have something different, and someone maybe needs to change the rules somewhere. But what's before us is to review this application, and with that, from what I've heard, I can support that.
Any other comments? We do have the motion. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Hearing none, motion is carried.